In this Friday edition, we hear three topics. The College of Redwood's first offering of Hoopa Language 1A. We'll hear how it is being offered and how to register. The second topic is about local area dogs. At Sovereign's Day, the Two Rivers Pet and Wildlife Services and the Hoopa Tribal Police are registering local area dogs and waiving the registration fees. Find out more. They ask to not bring your pet, just bring the vaccination records. The third part is excerpts from the August 8th Willow Creek Community Fire Report.
This is Matt McKinley. So this semester will be the first semester that College of the Redwoods is going to offer a Hoopa language class. The class is going to be Hoopa 1A. It's going to be taught Tuesdays and Thursdays from 5:15 p.m. to 7:20 at the CR campus across from the high school. The classes will take place in Classroom 1, and they'll be taught by Danny Emmons. So these classes, if anybody wants to take this class, the first step they're going to have to take is going to be to do a CR application. They go to redwoods.edu, top right-hand is part of the screen. They'll see a little check mark that says apply. They're going to click on that. Then they're going to go down and it's going to say complete CR application. That'll take you to an external site called CCC Apply. Once you get there, if you've already done an application through CCC Apply, then you're going to use your username and login to log in and do a new application. You have to do a new application with College of the Redwoods if you've missed two main semesters or more. If you have taken classes within two main semesters, then you wouldn't have to do a new application. You could just get a hold of our office and add the class. However, if you haven't, then you do the application. That gets submitted to College of the Redwoods. Then you have to wait 3 to 5 business days for that application to be processed, and then you can physically go in and add the class. The next step would be to do a FAFSA. So if you haven't received like a bachelor's degree or higher, or and you're income eligible, you could be eligible California Promise Grant and even a Pell Grant. So that means that you could get the class paid for and maybe get some money in your pocket for taking this class. If you do the FAFSA and you don't qualify for any of those, then you would have to pay $46 per unit to take this class, and it's a 4-unit class. Right now, Danny Ammon, the instructor, he's working with the college to get it where this class it's currently in the process where it's going to be accepted for general education, and then it will qualify as a humanities. He's also working on the next step to have a 1B, which will make it where it's a general education for a foreign language at the University of California level. So there's plenty of seats currently available in this class. So anybody that's interested in taking the class, I highly recommend they get a hold of our office at 530-625-4821 and ask to talk to an academic advisor.
So then it starts on the 20th, and you said it takes about 5 days to process the application?
So the semester starts on the 20th. But this class is a Tuesday class, so the first day of class for this class would be the 23rd. So if a person comes in today and they have to do their application because they're not currently able to add classes at College of Redwoods, then that's where it takes like 3 to 5 business days to process that application. Sometimes faster, sometimes quicker, just depending on how busy the admissions office is at the main campus.
So that Tuesday, that is the 23rd then.
Yep.
And that's the day of the lecture?
Yes, that's the day of the first day of class. And then it will meet every Tuesday and Thursday moving forward, except for there will be a fall break. It's a 16-week semester for the course. So the class will meet 32 times, depending on finals week. It might have, you know, a day or two off for finals week.
So this is the fundamentals of Hoopa conversation.
It's the first time being offered here at College of the Redwoods. In the past, we've had a Yurok 1A, but this is the first time having a Hoopa 1A.
Hoopa Police Chief Ramos talking about registering dogs at the Sovereign's Day booth space with Two Rivers Paws.
A plan to deal with the animal problem here in the valley. And so the first step is the process of registering the animals. And I think that's a big part of that. To begin this process, let's start identifying who has animals, and let's start registering and making sure they have all the necessary shots and things like that. And then we're working towards doing a bigger event where we include neutering and spaying, some vaccinations, and registration all in one kind of thing. But that'll be down the road. And we plan on doing that hopefully quarterly to help control the animal growth and to ensure that everyone is you know, all of them, they are all registered and that we know about them. You know, this is the beginning steps, obviously. The tribe needs an animal shelter type thing, but that costs money and hopefully moving in that direction. But right now we're just trying to identify the animals, try to have them registered, make sure they are vaccinated. And that way we begin that base of information.
There used to be a veterinarian that visited us.
Yes, and she will continue to work with us. I forget her name now. Hold up, I'll get that for you.
Do you think it's Dr. Peavy?
Peavy, right? Yeah.
I had done an interview with her once before, and she was opposed to a shelter.
Well, I mean, maybe not so much a shelter, but a location where we can, you know, temporarily hold animals until we find a relocation or return to the original owners, things like that. So some type of limited temporary place where we can place, you know, take the animals while they, like I said, are returned or identified. But, you know, the long-term shelters, there's a push to get out of that idea. But at this point, we don't have anything regardless anyway. You know, the volunteers are doing it themselves. They locate people who take on these, you know, some of these animals temporarily while they also are looking for long-term, full-term housing.
I was always disappointed that our property taxes that we pay the county doesn't offer us any facilities or assistance like animal control. It's not in their jurisdiction.
Right. You're talking about the county, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, a part of that is, from what I understand, I'm not an expert on this. I'm new to the Valley, obviously, you know. But as I learn and I educate myself, I think part of that has to do with some of the sicknesses that are here, with, you know, that these animals contract, and they don't want to bring that to the shelter, and so that's a concern. I don't know what we're looking to work with the county shelter, see if we can't, you know, figure out a way to house some of our animals. But at this point, like I said, we're at the beginning stages and just trying to identify the animals, trying to register them and move in that direction. Once we have that, then we now can identify a stray dog. We can identify a feral dog, you know, animal, and then we take, you know, different action in that regard. But you're right. I mean, my officers right now, as police officers, we don't have the means to even transport a dog. You know, we don't have the type of vehicle to take them all the way to the county. So we would need their assistance. So it's a challenge right now. We're working towards identifying some solutions. We're meeting every month at the end of the month from now on. That's part of my schedule.
When would that be?
It's we said the last Wednesday of every month in headquarters. Police headquarters, the headquarters. We're meeting here right now. If it turns into a larger group, then obviously we'll have to find a different location. But right now it's a small group enough that we can meet here in my office. Well, not my office, but my headquarters.
Uh-huh. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, because it's an ongoing problem. My goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's an ordinance that's in place, but right now we can't fulfill the whole ordinance. So we're building to that, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, it needs to be refined, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what will work?
And I think, you know, sometimes people, you know, we make decisions, plans are made, and you think that you have a good idea, and then nothing comes of it. You know, there's no follow-through. And so now you go, okay, we need to revamp this. We need to look at it again and see what actually will work and what will not work.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I think that's where we're at right now with the ordinance. I think it needs to be. I know they added a piece to it where there's an enforcement part, the second part recently, where they actually have attached fines to certain offenses. But the bigger part, like I said, you know, housing and temporary housing, things like that, veterinary call, you know, that hasn't been addressed. So they created a violation part, but what they haven't still, we still need follow through on some of the other parts.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to doing some more research in that because I'm on that volunteer committee on the ordinances.
You're on that committee, you said?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. You know, I mean, I'm sure every ordinance could be refined, right? Some of them are older, some of them are more recent, but once those are in play, sometimes you say, this didn't work. So we need to refine it. We need to clarify some language. We need to provide some support, you know?
Uh-huh.
But you're more than welcome to come to my meeting. You know, like I said, it's good to for information. I have no issue, you know, like I said, you coming out and being a part of that, hearing what's happening. We're trying, you know, these are initial steps right now that we're working on.
What hour on the last Wednesday?
It's at 6 p.m. We do it 6 to 7, just an hour. We're not doing crazy, just about an hour.
Well, thank you for calling.
All right, no problem. Like I said, Kim asked me to give you a call. And like I said, we put it on Facebook, and I'm sure it's been spread around. We're doing we're waiving the fee for registration at Sovereign's Day.
Okay. So
all the people have to do is just bring, you know, the proof of vaccination. We don't want to see the animals. We don't have all these animals running around. But proof of registration, we will register the dog, and we'll give them a dog collar. Not dog collar, dog collar tag with a particular number, and that'll be that animal's number from now on. So now it's registered.
Right.
So that's what we're trying to do. All right?
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Damian Scott of PAWS.
Yeah, it's me. Okay, hi.
Trying to get an interview with you about the upcoming Sovereign's Day event.
Awesome. Yeah, sounds good to me.
Oh, this is the first time you've been to a Sovereign's Day event.
Yeah, this is the first time our group has been to a Sovereign's Day event. We have not hosted any booths there yet, so this will be our first year there. I am actually from Hoopa, and so pretty much everybody in our group is from Hoopa, and so we just decided that we needed to get out there in the public and set a booth up, so we're going to do it this year. But yeah, we're all from Hoopa. We're local here. We all grew up here. Yeah, so we run Two Rivers Pet and Wildlife Welfare Services. And so we just basically work on making sure the animals are in good health. We do a lot of wildlife rescue when there's like emergencies with wildlife, like the bear incident that happened a while back in Willow Creek, and the hawks and stuff like that. So we get those connected with other wildlife rescues. And then we also promote spay and neuter very heavily. That's one of our big goals of the group, is to get animals spayed and neutered, just to try to get our population down here.
And at the Sovereign's Day event on the 12th, what will you be having at your booth?
So at our booth, we'll be having information. It'll be informational, just spreading information on spay and neuter options and like resources and like flea medication awareness and stuff like that. Just, it's going to be all information at our booth. We're also working with the police department to get animals registered. So they are going to be offering free registration for the first week, I think. And at Sovereign's Day, they're going to be registering animals there and then taking photographs later of the animals. They don't want any pets to come to the actual booth, but they would like people to register, and then they can follow up with pictures. And so we will be offering, we're going to donate 25 collars and leashes for the first 25 people to come register their pets.
And did I notice someplace that there are raffle tickets or something? You're doing a raffle?
Yeah, so we are currently doing a raffle right now for our rescue group to try to get our emergency funds up so we can pay for people to be the animals to be spayed and neutered, or just emergency situations that happen around here. Like, I think our most recent one, what was our most recent one? I can't remember our most recent one, but we always have emergencies where animals are injured and we have to take them to the vet and stuff like that. And so we try to have an emergency fund saved up just to have for that specific reason. So that's what we're doing our raffle for. And the tickets are, they're $5 each or 6 for 20.
Is there anything else you'd like people to know about what you do?
So we do have spay and neuter clinics coming up on October 22nd and 23rd. It's still a little ways out, but we really want people to pre-register their pets and make sure they're ready to be, make sure they have funds saved up to get them fixed. Awesome. Thank you for having me.
This is the Friday edition, a production of KIDE Hoopa, California. Moving on to excerpts from the Willow Creek Community Fire Report of August 8th.
First of all, thank you all for coming. It's quite a turnout. We're happy to see that. You know, part of our job as an incident management team is to serve the community. That's the reason we're having this public meeting. So what we'll be doing today is having a number of speakers talking about their area of expertise. First up, we're going to have an operational update with Seth Mitchell.
Thank you. My name is Seth Mitchell. I'm the planning operations for California Team 11. We'd like to start off with how we got here today. So on the 5th, there was a nocturnal thunderstorm where there are several lightning strikes, approximately 150 plus, that came in this general area. Of those lightning strikes, we had a confirmed 10 starts. You can see above me on the map that some of these ignitions have merged together. So we had the Cedar Fire, the Waterman Fire, the Bremer Fire, the Bravo, Campbell, Friday. We had the Surprise, the Oak, Almond, and the Charlie. So those comprised of 10 fires. Some of those fires ended up merging together because of the proximity that they were to each other when they first started. The Six Rivers National Forest implemented a quick initial response to respond to these fires. And we have implemented a full suppression strategy ever since. On August 7th, California Team 11 came in place and we took over management of all these fires, and we called it a complex. Continue to manage this fire. So you can see that the Cedar and the Waterman Fire have burned together. You can also see that the Bravo and the Campbell Fire have burned together. And then here soon we will see that the Oak and the Almond Fire and the Charlie Fire will most likely be able to burn together. We are anticipating that to happen. I'm going to go through each fire area and talk about some of the things where the crews are in full suppression and going direct and making good progress on ground some of the fires. So starting here on the Bremer Fire, we have crews actively engaged, securing and patrolling up, patrolling and going direct on the fire's edge as it comes down into the east side of Willow Creek and then down into the golf course. The intent there is when the fire does come down into their handline, we're doing some improvement around some of the structures, and we're going to be able to secure that fire line as it comes down to here. We also have crews that are on top of the Cedar and Waterman Fire, and they're using the Waterman Road as a holding feature, and they're currently doing some burnout and firing operations, and they're trying to hold it onto the Waterman Ridge. That's to prevent the fire from going north and eventually going into the Hoopa Reservation. So we are trying to protect some of the cultural natural resources out there. We're also working with the resource advisor on any other cultural and natural resources that may be out there, so that way the fire suppression crews get ahead of those issues before there's any future impacts. As we come into the Bravo and Campbell Fire, we have resources that are going direct along the edge around Sawyer Heights and trying to protect the community and the fire from coming down any further to impacting Sawyer and Sawyer's Bar. They're continuing to working direct and trying to suppress the fire as it comes further to the east. And we have crews that are evaluating a contingency line to bring it from the 4 road on several two-track road and coming down into here to prevent fire from moving further to the east. So they're currently evaluating that. We also have crews in Trinity Village that are evaluating Trinity Village in case the fire keeps progressing to the east. We have a robust group of folks in that area taking a look at that. As we come down here into the Almond Fire, it has reached Friday Ridge, and we do have several crews, dozers and hotshot crews, currently holding Friday Ridge, and we are taking a look at opening dozer lines and road systems coming over here to Almond Ridge Line and taking a look at this and trying to find some secure line to take it out here further to the east. We are working with aircraft when possible. Some of the challenges that we have with aircraft is visibility. So we have several helibases set up across the area in case that the smoke clears and the inversion lifts, that we will be able to get aircraft in the air. However, due to that inversion layer and the smoke, it's limiting our availability to get some of the aircraft in the air. When it does open up, whether it's on the south side of the fire or the north side of the fire, we will activate our air attack platform. We will evaluate the smoky conditions, and we will try to get a combination of fixed wing and helicopters in there to support our ground troops as possible. There are currently several evacs in place, and I'll let Trinity and Hobel Sheriff's Office talk specifically about those, but we do have some evacuation orders in place, such as Sawyer Heights and then Willow Creek area. We have resources on order, and we are the number one priority in California right now and in the nation. So we are getting resources on order, there are resources in route, and we are being supported right now to get people in place to support these incidents across the landscape here.
Our next speaker is our fire behavior analyst, Keith Osborne.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Kevin Osborne. I'm the fire behavior trainee with Team 11. We're going to go over the weather and fire behavior that we're experiencing right now. So today, the weather, Seth mentioned that inversions are a big story here, and I think a lot of the folks here today understand that and are familiar with the inversions that happen in the canyons here. And the timing of those inversions has really been driving fire behavior. So today, the inversion started lifting about 1:30. Yesterday, the inversion lifted a little bit around 2 o'clock. And what we have been seeing is a pattern where the southern fires, the Oak and the Ammon and the Charlie there, they get a little cleaner air and start getting that lift a little sooner. Our northern fires, particularly the Campbell and further up on the ridge, there with the Waterman, stay smoked in the longest. So the aircraft get prioritized based on when that inversion lifts. For temperatures, we've been in the mid-70s to low 80s the last couple days. Humidities have recovered overnight very well underneath these inversions with some marine layer pushes into the valleys. Again, I'm sure you're all familiar with the marine layer and its comings and goings in these parts. We're expecting to see those humidity recoveries again tonight pretty good in the 80 to 90% range, especially in the valleys, a little bit lower up on the ridges. That's going to be really good for us from a fire behavior standpoint. And that's allowed the fire to be much more mellow the last couple days compared to the first few days of the fire. Lots of backing fire, low rates of spread, and low flame lengths. The exception to that has been places where we've had a combination of clean air and alignment with slope, where the fire has positioned itself in some drainage bottoms and made pushes up towards the ridge tops, where we've seen some increased fire behavior. And there are some places where that opportunity still exists for the fire to make some of those runs. And we do anticipate to see some of those increases in fire behavior every afternoon when the inversion lifts, particularly in the places that it's in that alignment with slope, positioned at the base of the slope.
Thank you very much for being here. You know, one of the things that I like about IMT 11 here is that they were very concerned about the community and what it takes for us community to be informed from the very beginning. And they listened. They listened to the locals. They listened to what's going on. And right now, I think I hear the anxiety. I hear the fear talked about. I hear the anguish. We've been through a long last couple of years, not only with the fires, but the winter storm. There's been a lot of adversity this community has gone through. And I just want everyone to know that, you know, they're doing everything possible right now to make sure this community is safe. Life is our number one priority here. And so we're going to continue to do everything we can to preserve life. Just like Chief McCray, I want to give a couple thanks here and some recognition from the very beginning. One, Forest Supervisor Ted MacArthur and Chief McCray, thank you. Your leadership from the very beginning is what helped this community. And all the locals, all the fire protection district and people that came together in that first 24, 48 hours really, really helped this situation out. And we became a very proactive team. There was no ego involved. Everyone just was here trying to help, whether it was law enforcement, Office of Emergency Services, fire, community services district, it didn't matter. We were all here to make sure that we were all protected. We hear you when we hear people saying we need more information. And so we're going to provide as much information as possible. This is a U.S. Forest Service fire and CAL FIRE now. They're going to be the primary source of information relating to the fire. When they say it's time, you know, to evacuate, that's when law enforcement gets involved. And that's when we step in and we will inform with U.S. Forest Service. We are using Zone Haven. And I think everyone is up to speed now on what Zone Haven is. If you haven't listened or you haven't checked that out, just go ahead and Google communityzonehaven.com. You can know your zone, sign up for alerts, those kind of things. It's very, very important that you understand what those zones are. Those are evacuation zones that we are using. It's important that you know that. All the Forest Services and CAL FIRE is using our zones so we can get information out to you. Also, Humboldt Alert is so important. That's how we're going to get our message to you to evacuate. And we understand there's people that are still in the evacuation zones and they're choosing to stay. We can't oftentimes help you in those situations. And so we are going to still send alerts out when we can that fire's coming through that area. So you know that where the fire's coming in. But it's very, very important that you do stay informed. We're going to have more community meetings, right, Bob? That's right. So the community wants, you know, more information. Please subscribe to our website, you know, humboldtsheriff.org. Humboldt County and Trinity County Sheriff's Office both have our websites and also our evacuation information. So please check out the Trinity County Sheriff's Office and Humboldt County Sheriff's Office for those evacuation information. People have been asking, when can I go back home? You can go back home when it is safe. That is a vague term. I understand that. I understand people have animals. Sometimes people have medications. There's needs in the home, okay? There are times when we can escort people, but it's on a very limited basis, okay? So that is something that can be done, but it is going to be up to the Forest Service. It's going to be up to the fire behavior of when we can do that. And when they say we can release a zone, put a zone back under warning, we can repopulate a zone, there's a lot of things that need to happen first. If power's off, utilities are off, we got to make sure everything is restored before we can send people back to make sure it's safe. So please be patient. Extra patrols out in the evacuation zones. I know there's been some concerns about looting, about some people behind the lines. We are actively patrolling. If you're there behind the lines, you have no business being there, you can be arrested. And so we have at least 4 deputy sheriffs, plus the California Highway Patrol that are out actively patrolling, as well as the Forest Service and also CAL FIRE. So we have lots of eyes and ears out there. So please do not go behind the evacuation lines. I know you got the river, I know you got alternate sources, ways of getting behind the lines. Please do not do that, because we do not want to have any victims of this fire. And right now, we're good, okay? We have information on in the back about Zone Haven, as well as Humboldt Alert, as well as an evacuation checklist. If you have need of more information, humboldtsheriff.org has information about evacuations and how to get ready for wildfire. Thank you very much. I am available for questions in the back. Ryan Derby is our Office of Emergency Services. He's in the back there waving his hand. We're activated right now, and so we're here to help. I also want to thank the Red Cross. They established our evacuation shelter very, very quickly. We're very, very thankful the Trinity Camp, the Trinity Elementary School has that, as well as Pay It Forward Humboldt. Thank you very much for all the stuff that you're doing. We really appreciate you guys. And this is what Humboldt's all about. This is what community's all about, right? And Trinity County. We come together in these kind of circumstances. So let's continue to be a community. Let's look out for each other. Sometimes when our neighbors can't evacuate correctly or safely, let's help them. Let's be the voice for them. And please let us know how we can help. Thank you guys very much.
The Friday Edition is a production of Hoopa Tribal Radio 91.3 FM. Our website is www.kidefm.org. This production and others are accessible for download in our podcast and download tab. The producer, host, and engineer for this Friday edition is Joseph Orozco, lead producer. For KIDE, we thank you for listening.